Let's take our songbooks together again and turn to number 449, Nearer Still Nearer. Shall we stand together and sing? Number 449.
Oh,
prayer this morning. You may be seated. This time we'll have a special for Mrs. Judy Judge. Pastor Fury and Pastor Mike McDowell. Their course at the Spiritual Leadership Conference in Lancaster, California, and I'm sure they're suffering for Jesus there. Amen? Yeah, so we have preaching for us this morning, Pastor Mike Holland. He's been ministering at Bible Baptist Church now for well over 21 years, so he's been faithful there. And always going to be a blessing this morning to you as he presents the Word of God. Pastor Holland.
All right, good morning. Take your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 20, please, if you would. Acts chapter 20. It's good to be with you again. Bethel Baptist Church, always enjoy our time. I know that Pastor Fury and Pastor McDonald are gone, and our pastor is heading out tomorrow morning to go to the leadership conference, and Brother Walsh and I are staying home. I'm not sure why that is, but we don't get to go to California. Either we don't deserve it or because we don't need it. We're already spiritual leaders enough. We don't need the extra boost. I'm not sure what it is. But this year, we're staying home, and so I have been out there one time to leadership conference and enjoyed myself a great deal out there, so I'm sure it'll be a great time of refreshment for your pastor and Brother McDonald as well. I have to admit this morning, I'm a little bit flustered this morning as I get up here. I was sitting here on the platform looking across the auditorium, seeing many familiar faces, and I saw my wife sitting next to Bill Foreman. I said, I'm a little awkward with that, I'll be honest with you. This doesn't really hit me very well. I hope if my wife was going to hang around another guy, it would be at least be behind my back, not in front of my eyes. And number two, I hope she would do it with someone better looking than Bill Foreman. I mean, I hope she's going to do, at least it'd be an upgrade or something, or maybe have more money or something. I don't know, but we've known Bill and Donna for a long time. They're members of our church for a number of years in St. Thomas, and we're glad. I feel better now that Donna's between them, though. I do feel better about that. Thank you very much, Donna, for doing that for me. It's like two kids that can't behave themselves in church. You got to put somebody between them, and so Donna's there as the buffer. All right, I appreciate that. And it's good to be here with you from Bible Baptist Church in St. Thomas. I've been there now almost 21 years working with the youth and working in the financial department of our church and just whatever else needs to be done with Pastor Stone. And obviously you are familiar with our pastor, Al Stone. How many knew Pastor Al Stone when he was just a teenager here at the church? All right, many, many people know him. Well, now he's Dr. Stone, and so please refer to him as such when you see him and treat him that way with respect. I'm just teasing. Just treat him however you want to treat him. We don't care. And we're glad that you have trained him well. How many taught him Sunday school? You remember having him in Sunday school class? Any of the Sunday school teachers here? A few of them? Good. And we appreciate all the time and effort you put into his life, and he is a great pastor. We love him dearly at our church, and he has been there now coming up on, believe it or not, 25 years will be this September. We'll celebrate that with him, 25 years at our church, and not often to have a pastor that long at one church and see the church continue to grow, and we are excited about what God's doing in St. Thomas. We're seeing great things happen. Our kids' programs continue to grow, our youth programs grow, and our church grows. We had our open house Sunday last week, had a great attendance there, many visitors out as well. And then we also have Bearing Precious Seed Canada, which this church has supported very heavily over the last few years, and we appreciate your support for that. And just want to give you a brief update of what we're doing. We are trying to mail a John of Romans to every home in Canada. And so we have been working our way different parts of the country with your help. This church, again, has done a lot of the mailing for did all of Saskatchewan and a good part of other areas as well. So this church has been a great blessing. We are set to send out this week, I believe, 60,000 John of Romans to Nova Scotia. So if you'd be in prayer for that, we just collect some money. And then, believe it or not, with Canada Post, there are different months of the year that you get a one-cent discount. And we're cheap Baptists, and we save for that one-cent discount. And when you mail out 60,000, that adds up a little bit. And so we're going to send out 60,000 this week. So June is a month for us, and July is also a good month for us to send out. So we'll be sending some out in the next few months. So pray for that. We're going to try to cover Nova Scotia here this year. We're working on that. Our pastor went out to Nova Scotia and rallied the troops out there, and some churches are now sending money back to help cover the cost of that. And then we're going to work our way toward New Brunswick and Quebec. And so we're working on a bilingual, either Gospel of John or a bilingual Gospel of Romans or Romans. We're working on those things. So that's some things we're working out with Bearing Precious Seed Canada. So thank you for your support, your monthly support, and also the special gifts that you give the church. We really do appreciate that. But it's always a pleasure to be here with you. I just want to give you a message from God's Word. I hope it'll be an encouragement and a challenge to you this morning as we look at the topic of who's sleeping in church. Who's sleeping in church? The full title of the book of Acts is really the Acts of the Apostles. And so it's the story of the early church led by the apostles after Jesus Christ ascended up into heaven. The Apostle Paul obviously is one of the main characteristics in the book of characters in the book of Acts. His conversion, his ministry, his persecution are all covered in the book of Acts. And so here in Acts 20, we find Paul traveling around visiting and preaching in different churches. And in verse 6, he stops in the city of Troas for a short 7-day visit. Let's pick up the story, the reading here in Acts 20 and verse number 7. We'll use this passage just as a springboard for our message this morning. Verse 7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Let me stop there. Now, if you think your pastor's long-winded, Paul is preaching till midnight this night, so we don't usually go quite that long. I won't go even to noon, or alone midnight, right? Verse number 8. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him said, Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. So we here have the story, the interesting story of Eutychus, the young man that is famous, and the only time he's mentioned in the Bible is the time that he fell asleep in church. Now, I have preached many times, many different locations, and I have had many people fall asleep while I was preaching. So if you want to do that this morning, it won't bother me. I'm used to it, all right? But here, Eutychus is famous for falling asleep in church. And the old joke is, why do they call him Eutychus? Eutychus too, if you fell three lofts or three stories. I don't know, some kind of old joke. Anyway, probably not a good joke to tell in church, but Eutychus is his name, and that's his famous claim to fame as he fell asleep. As Paul's preaching, he falls from the third loft to the ground. And as if that wasn't bad enough, I love how the Bible words this. The Bible says that Paul comes and falls on him. So this guy falls three stories, and here comes the Apostle Paul, bam, right on top of him. And so to try to bring him back to life, and indeed he does. We talked about miracles today in our Sunday school class here, and this is a miracle that God allowed Paul to perform and brought Eutychus back to life. So the story has a happy ending because Paul raises Eutychus from the dead. But with this story in mind, I have a question for you. The question is, who's sleeping in church? And before we start pointing fingers or, you know, nudging our spouse or whatever, I'm not really talking about falling asleep physically, but who's sleeping spiritually in church? We actually have a family in our church that have some kind of medical condition that causes them to fall asleep. That's what they say. Anyway, I'm not sure. We haven't checked the records or not, but there's a family, three generations actually in this family, and almost every Sunday morning, they all three fall asleep in church. And so if I had to preach this in our church, I'd be careful because I know everyone would look into that section of the church because that's where they sit. In fact, the young man, the teenager, is just now just out of our teen class. We had to ask him not to sit. Our teens sit right in the front, and we had to ask him not to sit with the teenagers because it got too distracting for everyone because he kept bobbing in church all the time, falling asleep in church. And so that can happen. Who's sleeping in church? Wikipedia defines sleep as a natural, reoccurring state characterized by reduced or absent consciousness. A natural recurring state of reduced consciousness. I heard of a man, a pastor, who was starting a church, and he started church with Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. If I gave you his name, you would know his name. And he started a church here in Canada, and so he started out full services. So usually when those churches start, the services are small, and especially on Wednesday night, your crowd is very small. And so it came to this one Wednesday night where his family was all sick. So his wife stayed home with the kids, and it was just himself, and one man showed up. So it was the pastor and one person, one older gentleman. And the man began, he said, well, you know, I'm here to pastor. I'm going to have a full church service. I'm going to lead the singing. We're going to take the offering. We're going to do it all right here. Offering may be a little awkward, but he did the whole service, all right? And he said as he began to preach, the man fell asleep. Now, I've had people fall asleep, like I said before. In fact, I've had pastors fall asleep when I was preaching before. That's how good I am. And but I never have just one person in the auditorium and have him fall asleep. Do you keep preaching or do you wake him up? And he said, I just kept preaching because I figured eventually he'd wake up and he'd get something out of the message. So he preached through the whole message and eventually the man woke up. But that'd be kind of an unusual service. I believe it's possible and even natural to sit in church week after week and fall into a state of reduced consciousness, a reduced spiritual, not as spiritually alive and alert as we ought to be. And that's what I'm talking about this morning. When I'm talking about who's sleeping in church. You could be in church week after week. You could be on the bus route week after week. You could be in the youth department week after week. Listen, but still have a reduced state of consciousness. Just not spiritually alert and awake as you used to be. We've all experienced driving long hours on the road, and I was just talking to Brother Judge, and Brother Judge took a trip out to California, and many hours on the road. We did that same trip. We took a trip out to Arizona one time and drove out there. And I know that when you're on the road for a while, sometimes you're awake, but you kind of just get lulled to a reduced state of consciousness. And you start thinking, did I pass my exit? Did I pass that rest stop yet? Where am I? Where am I going? Like you haven't really fallen asleep, but you're just in that reduced state of consciousness. We've all done this. We've all started traveling somewhere in our own city even. And often my car, no matter where I'm trying to go, eventually leaves to the church because I just kind of get zoned out. I just miss my turn. I think, I'm not going to the church. I'm going somewhere else. Right? We get that it's almost like being hypnotized. You almost fall in that little reduced state of reduced consciousness. And really, listen, the Bible word for sleep is the word that we get our English word from, hypnosis. It's not really talking about, catching some Z's and really going all out, but where you kind of get that reduced state of consciousness and you're not as alert as you ought to be to some things. And so I believe across this auditorium and sitting in our church this morning are a number of believers in Jesus Christ who are just kind of simply sleeping in church. Sleep's a funny thing. Some people can sleep anywhere. I'm one of those type of people. I can sleep. When I was a kid, my family went to West Virginia on vacation at this place we went in West Virginia. They went to a fire hall. They had some kind of gathering for the whole community at this fire hall. It was a real small town called Horseshoe Run, West Virginia. So this whole community came to the fire hall, and I got tired along the way, and I was younger, and I went and I laid down on the back of a fire truck, and I fell asleep. And my parents were looking all over for me. They could not find me because I was asleep on the back of a fire truck. I could sleep just about anywhere. Some of you have to have the right pillow, the right bed, the right temperature. Everything's got to be just right. The stars have to be aligned so you to fall asleep. Everything has to be just right to fall asleep. Sleep's a funny thing that way. Sometimes it's hard to stay awake. No matter how hard you try to stay awake, it's just hard to stay awake. When I was young, there was a TV show on one of the local channels in Cleveland called Big Chuck and Little John. It was a stupid show. I don't know why it was, but it started at 11 o'clock at night, 11:30 at night. After the news, they'd have some kind of stupid horror movie, and between those, they'd do these little skits and little clips. And I always wanted to stay up, and I'd say, Dad, can I stay up to watch Big Chuck and Little John? My dad'd say, you can stay up as late as you want, because he knew that about 9 o'clock, 9:30, I was going to be out no matter what. And so I would work and work. I'd say, no, I'm staying. I'd splash water in my face. I would slap myself. I'd do all right to stay awake, and eventually I'd fall asleep. I remember the first night I was able to stay up and watch the classic TV movie, Godzilla versus somebody, King Kong. King Kong versus Godzilla. I stayed up and watched Big Chuck and Little John. And so I had a hard time staying awake. I remember when I was in high school, around 17, I worked a job that worked only two nights a week, Friday night and Saturday. And I worked from like 2 a.m. to 7 a.m. cleaning a restaurant. And so by the time I got to Sunday morning, I would come home at 7 a.m. and I'd go take a shower, eat breakfast, and go right to my bus route. And so by the time I got through Sunday school and I got to the morning service, I was tired, and I would do everything. I heard one time that you can't fall asleep if your feet are off the ground. So I put my hands under my feet, and I try to do, I do the, the Mr. Bean thing and try to prop my eyes open and do whatever I could to stay awake. But I remember times that I was dozing off in church. I remember one time I dozed off, and my head went back, and I hit my head on the pew like that, and everybody around turned around and looked. I looked at my neighbor to blame him, try to blame somebody else. But, trying to stay awake is a funny thing. The sleep kind of overtakes us. So it's possible even to be busy in church, but still be dozing off and falling asleep. What I really want to get across to you today and understand about sleep is that you really don't realize you're asleep until you wake up. Right? You don't know. You don't say, hey, I'm asleep now.
I'm feeling pretty good. This is all right. You do not realize you're sleeping until someone wakes you up and says, oh man, I must have dozed off. I didn't realize I dozed off. I was just laying here, and then I've had several surgeries where they had to put me under. And I remember they put this thing across, this mask across my face, and they said, just breathe deep. And I think, this isn't going to work for me. How can this work for me? And the next thing I know, I'm waking up, they say, are you okay? And all the nurses are around me, and I've already gone through the surgery. I didn't even realize I dozed off until someone had woke me up. And so it's possible that we're here today and we have fallen into a reduced state of consciousness, spiritually speaking, and we just don't even realize it. We're just kind of going through the motions. We're here at church because we always go to church, and we went on the bus route because we always go on the bus route. We taught our class because we always taught our class, and we even went on visitation this week because we always go on visitation. We're just kind of sailing through. A reduced state of consciousness. So maybe today you're dozing off in church. Several times in the New Testament, God tells us to wake up. And I just want to look at these several instances this morning. This passage we looked at about Eutychus is just kind of a springboard to talk about that sleep that can happen in church. And now I want to look at several passages. If you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll let several passages here in the next little bit. Draw some truths from them and hope to be an encouragement and help to you and maybe help you understand that it's time for you to wake up. And even as I study for the message, I think, you know, there's some areas that I need to wake up a little bit, snap out of it a little bit, because I just got kind of comfortable with what I've been doing. And kind of, I mean, I've been youth pastor for 21 years. It's kind of easy to get into a routine. I could probably teach Sunday school lessons to teenagers. I have stacks and stacks and stacks of Sunday school lessons for teenagers in my drawer. I kept a lot of them in my first years, not keep them all on the computer, but between the two, my drawer and my computer, I could teach years of Sunday school lessons to teenagers without even opening the Bible, because I got them all there. I've done it before. So it's easy kind of just to kind of put it in cruise control and just coast down the road and say, hey, did I miss my exit? Am I missing something along the way? It's time to wake up a little bit. So here, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 34, the Bible says very clearly, I want to key in this passage, this verse, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Very powerful verse. If you'll think about the words of that verse, let me read it again for you. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Let me say first of all this morning, I'll give you three quick things we need to awake to. Some need to wake up to a holier walk. Some of us need to wake up to a holier walk for God. The Bible here says, wake to righteousness and sin not. Put sin far from you and wake up and be righteous. If we use one word to describe the church in our day, in our time period, it would not be righteous. Do you realize that many people, many Christians sitting in pews today would be excommunicated from churches 30, 40 years ago for the things that we allow in our churches today? We are not walking a religious, righteous, holy walk. And I think God here is saying very clearly, wake up to righteousness and sin not. Keep that verse in your mind. We'll refer back to it, but I want to turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Awake to righteousness and sin not. Then it says, some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 8. This passage talks about waking up as well. Verse 8 says, for we were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Some people can't sleep if it's not dark in their room. Our pastor's that way. He wants all the blinds closed and pulled right down. Doesn't really bother me, but I know our pastor, when he travels and he pulls the blinds across, he wants it completely dark. Here it says, we're not children of darkness, we're children of light. Light is the time for work. Light is not the time for sleep. Verse number 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Now listen to verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. If you're sleeping, wake up. And then, again, that word sleep is not necessarily to go flat out. It's being in that hypnotic state where you're just kind of reduced state of spiritual consciousness. And God says, wake up if you're asleep. Awake to a holier walk. These verses are talking about your Christian walk, your Christian lifestyle. In our church, our theme was holiness, being a holy church. And it's one thing to put up banners about being holy. It's a whole other thing to live a holy lifestyle. We can put all you want on the front of your bulletin cover that, you know, God's holiness and God is holy. Be holy as God is holy and all that stuff. What about our everyday lifestyle? Teenager, as you go to school and as you go to your room, as you go on the computer and as you listen to your iPod or iPad or whatever you're listening to, is that a holy walk? Because it's easy to say, well, all the other teenagers in my youth group are doing it, so it must be okay. That's what we're talking about. You're falling asleep in church. Well, you know, I know my life's not perfect, but I know a lot of people in the church that are doing a lot of things worse than I am. We're not talking about that. We're talking about you're falling asleep in church. Wake up to a holier walk. Wake up to a holier lifestyle. God says, be holy, for I am holy. Awake to righteousness and sin not. Put it away. Make no provision for the flesh. Look over to Romans chapter 13, if you would. This will be the last passage we turn to. I just want to give you these verses. Romans chapter 13, verse number 11. The Bible says, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. It's very clear from these scriptures that we ought to live a life that is different than those who are not saved. We ought to live a life, the Bible says in Ephesians, that is acceptable to the Lord. We ought to live a life that's not making provision for the flesh. All these things talk about a holier walk. We need to cast off the works of darkness and put on Jesus Christ. There needs to be a revival of holiness among Christians today. Instead of just going through, well, this is what it's okay, everybody else is doing, or this is the way we've always done, maybe we ought to just take a little inventory of our life today. Because oftentimes we come to church not really to take, I would bet that many didn't come to church saying, I want a great life change today. We come because it's a habit. We come because we know it's right. We come for the fellowship. But we ought to come looking and listening for God to do a work in our heart and say, God, search me, O God, and know my thoughts and know my heart and change me and make me something cleaner and purer and right. Listen, folks, today, wake up to holiness. Wake up to a holier walk, God's saying. We're not children of darkness. Cast off darkness and walk as a child of light. What have you watched this week? What have you said this week? How have you acted this week? Are we walking in a holy lifestyle? Wake up to a holier walk. Hey, I'm okay. Hey, my life's not that bad. That's a sure sign. If we're not even willing to investigate our own life, that's a sure sign that you're dozing off in church. The status quo is okay. Just let me do my little lifestyle. Let me do my little Christian thing. I'll come on Sunday and just let me do my thing throughout the week. Sure sign that we're falling asleep in church. Do you understand what God is saying in these powerful verses? He's saying, hey, Bethel Baptist Church, hey, child of God, wake up and walk right. Yet some come to church week after week and just sleep in church. Hey, great message, Pastor. Thank you. Now let me go do what I want to do. Hey, I enjoyed the fellowship here at Bethel Baptist. It's awesome. And go do what I want to do. Wake up to a holier walk, God says. Number two, I think we see here not only do we need to wake up to a holier walk, we need to wake up to a deeper relationship. The first verse we looked at said, awake to righteousness and sin not. Some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. I think Paul, there's two different ways we look at that phrase. Some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. We'll look at them both ways. I think we can look at it this way. Some of us don't have a very deep knowledge of God. We know about God. We know the right words to say. Hey, if you call me to pray, I can pray all the right words. I know exactly that I should say, bless the gift and the giver alike. And we have all those little catchphrases. And, you know, thank you, bless this food. Thank you for this food. And we go through this little, our prayers have become almost vain repetition. We don't have a real relationship with God that we get on our face before God. And there's no pretense. There's nothing fake about it. It's just me and God saying, God, I need you today. And have a deep relationship with God. Do we have that deep relationship? I read of stories of men of old that would spend hours in prayer a day. I read of one man who said that I think the day is wasted if I haven't spent at least 7 to 8 hours in personal prayer. I don't know about you, but I'm not measuring up to that standard. And I'm not the kind of person that says, I don't really believe this. I don't think you should take your phone out and set an alarm. Okay, I'm going to spend 24 minutes in prayer today. Okay, here we go. I don't think that's the way it is at all. If I said to my wife, hey, honey, I love you. You have 22 minutes of my time today. That's not going to go very big. She wants to have my attention. She knows when I'm working. If she needs to get a hold of me, I would drop everything at work if she needed me. And my kids know that as well. We have a deep relationship. It's not fake. It's not phony. It's deep and it's growing and it's maturing. And that's the relationship we ought to have with God. He said, some of you have not the knowledge of God. You don't really even really know God in a real way. You've been saved for 5, 10, 15 years, and you know the right things, the right way to dress and the right way to act and all the things to do in church. And you know when to stand up, when to sit down. And, you know, that's kind of hard for me. I come from another church. You know, I got to make sure I know, look at the order of service and know if I'm supposed to stand up or sit down and make sure, you know, it's a handshaking verse. And I shook hands too long. Everybody else was back in their seat, and I was still shaking hands, you know. You know, all the right things to do, right, in our church and how it all is supposed to run. In our church, we have a little different order of service. We have two songs, then a special, then a song. And, you know, we have our own special, our own little order of service. But do we really know God? See, has church just become a place that we go to fellowship and feel good about ourselves? Or is it a place that we come to meet with God? And then we meet with God and we go home and we fellowship with him daily and say, God, as we're driving, God, I need you. And as we're working, God, I need you. And we have that deep relationship with God, a way to a deeper relationship with God. Talking to God in a very real and personal way. And really, church is not the only way or even the best way to really know God. We come to church to learn how to know God. Then we go home to know God. We come to church to get instruction on how to pray and how to read our Bible and how to get more out of it and how to live a Christian life. But then we go and we actually live it. That's when we get to know God. Even the apostle, now listen, the apostle Paul, who turned the world upside down, said, oh, that I may know him. And the power of his that I can just learn to know. I don't really know him yet. I've seen him with my eyes. And I spent years on the backside of the desert, but I don't really know him yet. If I could just know God. But yet, you know, we seem to be pretty content with our relationship with God in our churches of today. That we're just pretty content to, you know, that's called sleeping in church. It's called just a reduced state of consciousness when it comes to our relationship with God. That we may know him. Let me ask you, how much time, what kind of effort have you made to know God this week? Could it be possible that you are sleeping in church in the area of knowing God? Today, we need to wake up. The alarm's going off. Don't hit the snooze button. I know it may be good for that. Don't ignore the alarm. The alarm's going off saying, hey, Christian, awake to righteousness. Awake to a holier walk. Awake to a deeper relationship. Let me tell you one more thing I think God wants us to wake up to. Our first verse said, awake to righteousness and sin not. Awake to a holier walk. Some have not the knowledge of God. I think that means we need to wait to a deeper relationship. But it also means this. Some have not the knowledge of God. There are some people that you know that don't know God. And he says this, I speak that to your shame. There are some that have not the knowledge of God, and I speak that to your shame. Shame on you, shame on me, if there's those that we know that don't know our God. That's what he's saying. And I believe we need to wake up, folks, Bethel Baptist Church, Christian, we need to wake up to a greater opportunity. There's never been a greater opportunity to share Jesus Christ. There have never been more unsaved people in the world than there is today. Billions and billions of them. Unsaved people. Our nation of Canada is slowly sliding from a Christian nation to a heathen nation, a nation that doesn't have a religion. And so more and more daily, as that slide continues, there are more and more people who do not know God that you know and I know. When I was a teenager growing up, you'd say in church, bring your friends to church, bring your friends to church, bring your friends to church. I went to the Christian school, I went to the church. I had no friends but the Christian school kids and the church kids. I had no friends outside the church kids. All my friends were already there. But now, I know people outside the church. I know more unsaved people now than I probably ever have before. And if they don't have the knowledge of God, that's a shame on me. That's what the Bible's saying. Romans 13:11, here where we're still at, says this, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Tells us that salvation is nearer than when we believe. I don't know when Jesus Christ is coming back. I don't know when the world will come to an end. I don't know that, but I know that I have less time. I've been saved since I was 11 years old. 32 years. I have 32 years less time now to accomplish what God's given me to accomplish than I did when I first believed. My time is getting shorter and shorter and shorter, and so is yours. Every one of us, today you're spending one more day of your life. I don't know how many more days you have left, but we have one less day to accomplish. When I was in college, I went to a college where we had to have room jobs done by a certain time. So the floor leader would come through and check off if we had our room job done at a certain time. I had a couple classes where I didn't start class till later, so I wanted to sleep in to the very last second, not minute, the very last second that I could, and get up and still get my job done without getting a demerit for not doing my job. And so I would lay in bed, and I'd say, well, I'm awake, but I really don't want to get out of bed. I just want to relax here. And I knew that if my floor leader started at one end of the hallway, I had an extra 10 minutes. I could stay in bed. If he started at my end of the hallway, I was in trouble in about 30 seconds. And sometimes I would gamble that. I'd just say, I don't care. I'm going to gamble the 10 minutes, and hopefully he doesn't start. And sometimes he'd come in, and he'd catch me still in bed, and he'd give me a demerit. I know that probably shatters all your... I'm not perfect. I am almost perfect. I did get demerits in college. But you know what? I didn't know when he was coming, but I knew every minute I laid in bed, I had 1 minute less to get out of bed to get my job done. I don't know when Jesus Christ is coming back. I don't know when my life's going to end, but I know that I have one less day after today. I have one less day to accomplish it. There's a greater opportunity up there for us. Two times in this verse it says the word now. He got to use that word now, now, now. And I use that with our teenagers to tell them that there's no opportunity waste. Don't waste any opportunity. Do it now, do it now, do it now. Surrender now. If you're called to preach, surrender now. If God's leading you to a new ministry, do it now. If God's calling you to be involved, then do it now. If God's calling you to set more time aside for prayer, then do it now, do it now, do it now. We have a greater opportunity, the Bible says. And so it's time to wake up to this greater opportunity. This This is our opportunity to impact eternity. Tomorrow is your opportunity to impact eternity by how you live your life and who you talk to about Christ. And the next day, and the next day. What you do in the next 24-hour period could impact eternity. Not only could impact, listen, will impact eternity. Because no man is an island unto themselves. How you live your life and the example you set and who you talk to all impacts people for Christ or keeps people from knowing Christ. It's time to cast off the things of darkness and just get busy for God. It's time to wake up. Funny thing about sleep is that you don't realize that you're asleep until you wake up. You could maybe come in today and thought, everything's going pretty good, but God maybe has given you a little slap on the face, say, hey, wake up. Wake up. There's times when I'm driving and I'm not dozing off, but I'm getting tired. My wife will say, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay? I mean, I'm sure you never did it to your husband, but just making sure that they're, you want me to drive? Like, that's the best thing. Like, she's been sleeping, she doesn't sleep in the car, but she's over there, she's all groggy, she wakes up. You want me to drive for you? That's what I'm really going to turn the wheel over to you right now. You're in great shape. No thanks. I'll take my chances. Thank you very much. But you don't realize you're dozing off sometimes until someone says, hey, wake up. Funny thing about sleep is sometimes it's hard to wake people up. You can throw water on their face. When I was a kid, they'd throw water in my face. I'd sleep through that. They'd slap me in the face. I'd sleep through that. Some of us hit the snooze alarm several times. We just keep on sleeping. Sleep can be dangerous. I had a friend who just after high school, a high school friend of mine, a girl I went to high school with, she was driving home on a two-hour trip. She fell asleep at the wheel. She crossed over the median, hit another car coming the other direction. She was okay, but she killed a 16-year-old girl going the other way. She's never forgotten about that. When we doze off, it does affect us. But fathers, if you doze off, it affects your family. And mothers, if you doze off, and seniors, if you doze off, it affects this church. You see, you're not just affecting yourself, you're affecting other people. And maybe God's just trying to wake you up this morning. I've heard many testimonies of people who have told how God had to wake them up. I have a friend who was a missionary to Africa, but when he was in high school, he played soccer, and he loved soccer, and was going to get a soccer scholarship. He was all gung-ho, and God was calling him to full-time service, and he was saying, no, 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 thank you. I think I'll just play soccer. I think I'll follow my career. I think I'll do what I want to do. And his senior year of soccer in the Christian school that I went to, he got a disease and had to get stuck in the hospital. And in the hospital bed, laying flat on his back, he surrendered his life to God. God's attention. God has many ways to get our attention if we're dozing off in church. And he can, and often he will. On the other hand, he might just let you go to sleep. He doesn't always do that. Which one's worse? Dozing off and not having God wake you up, or having God bring something tragic in your life to get your attention? I'd almost rather have something tragic happen to me. To live the rest of my life without any spiritual consciousness, doing nothing for God. But there's a third option. We don't have to wait for God to get our attention. We don't have to keep sleeping. We can wake up. Wake up. I've had a dream before. And in my dream, this is weird. I don't know if this ever happened to you. I've had a dream several times where in my dream, I'm thinking, this is dumb. This is a dream. This cannot be real. This cannot be really happening. I am going to wake up. I'm going to make myself wake up. And in my dream, I'm like sitting there thinking, I got to wake up. This is not really happening. And I cannot make myself wake up. Eventually, I finally snap out and say, oh yeah, it was a dream. It's very weird. And today, maybe you're sitting here thinking, that's not me. That's not me. Why don't you let the Holy Spirit of God be your wake-up call? Why don't you ask the Lord, hey, Lord, am I sleeping in church? Lord, do I need to wake up to a holier walk? Do I need to wake up to a greater opportunity of service for you? Do I need to wake up? Am I dozing off in church? Hey, Christian, hey, church, it's time to wake up. No more sleeping in church. Let God be our wake-up call this morning. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. Father, we come to you now, and we come into your throne room, and we ask you to meet with us now. Father, I've done my very best to read your word, to explain your word, to deliver your word. Father, we are trusting in the power of the Holy Spirit to do a work. And Lord, I pray that each one in this room would at least have enough spiritual alertness to ask that question of you. And that you would drill in our hearts, that you would show us areas of our life. Lord, do we need to wake up to a holier walk? Father, I pray you'd examine our hearts now and show us those areas of sin that we've held on to, that are part of our life, that we've kind of excused. And Lord, I pray you point that out in our life right now. Maybe we be open and honest and listening to your voice. Lord, may we open up and wake up to a deeper relationship with you. Father, may we not be satisfied with just a Sunday morning Christianity or just a church Christianity or just a few minutes a day of spending time with you. May we know you. We cry like the Apostle Paul that we might know you. And Lord, please wake us up to a greater opportunity. Bethel Baptist Church does a lot of great things in this community, but it could do so much more if every person was awake and alert to every opportunity of service. Help us to wake up. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around, let me just ask you a few questions this morning. I'm a guest here today. I'm not here to intrude. I'm just here as a messenger of God to give you a message from the Lord. How many today would be honest with me and give me a testimony today and say, hey, Brother Mike, I know Jesus Christ is my Savior. I know for sure that I'm saved. I am so glad for that, and I am not ashamed of that, and I gladly raise my hand as a testimony that I know Christ in a very real way. I know that I'm saved. Would you raise your hand across the auditorium? I know I'm saved. I'm not here to judge you, just try to help you. All right, God bless you. Put your hands down. Thank you for your honesty. Jesus Christ came to earth and died on the cross for our sins that we might know him and have a real relationship with him. That's how it all begins. And a one-time decision to trust Christ as Savior. Is there someone this morning in the auditorium to say, hey, Brother Mike, I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Would you please pray for me? I'm not going to point you out, embarrass you, or even approach you. I just want to pray for you. Would you raise your hand and say, I'm not sure that I'm saved. All right, God bless you. Thank you. Put it up. Put it back down. I see your hand, young man. Thank you. Anybody else? Yes, God bless you, young man. Thank you. I see your hand too. All right, God bless you. Thank you. Several hands this morning. In just a minute, we're going to have an invitation. We're going to invite people to come to the altar and pray, Christians to come to pray. We're going to invite you to come and talk to one of our workers. If you would come, we would just take a Bible and show you what Jesus has done for you, how he paid for your sin, how you can know God, the God that created you. You can know that God in a very real way, and then give you a chance to either accept that or reject that. That's up to you. No pressure, no pushing, just give you the truth from God's word. And so I would beg with you that when we give the invitation, if you have raised your hand, you said you're not sure that you're saved, I would beg with you that you'd come today and talk to one of our workers and know God in a very real way. Let me ask you one more thing. How many today say, Pastor Mike, I know I'm a Christian, but there's an area in my life that God's revealed to me already this morning that I need to wake up to. Maybe it's a holier walk. Maybe it's a deeper relationship. Maybe it's a greater opportunity. But you know that you've kind of lulled asleep. I mean, you're maybe not flat out, but just kind of going through the motions. And God has woken you up this morning. God's spoken to your heart. Would you raise your hand across the auditorium and say, that's me. God's spoken to my heart this morning in an area. All right, God bless you. Many hands. I'm going to ask you to do business with God this morning. Let's all stand to our feet. Brother Baker.